You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
My name's Al Harrington. I get buckets.
Al Harrington, welcome to the jungle. Is the chair low enough for you?
It's low enough.
It's low enough? Okay. We just thought of that just now. So
you want me to be at your level, huh?
Well, whatever's comfortable for you, man. I just want you to be comfortable. All right. That's all. That's all. Okay. So we'll start with this. Like, you guys had some news yesterday. You raised some money, right? Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, the company's really been growing pretty quickly. And as you know, in the cannabis space, you know, in order to make money, you got to spend money as of right now because of some of the laws and regulations around the industry. So, you know, I was lucky to find a really good lead investor. We haven't announced who that is yet, you know, but we have some very exciting news as the year rolls out.
So we're talking about Viola Brands, right?
We're talking about Viola Brands.
Yep. That's your company. You founded it, what, like a decade ago?
Yeah, 2011. You know, so it's about to be 11 years actually this year. So
nice.
Founded it with my grandmother's name. You know, my grandmother came to visit me when I was playing in Denver, and she was complaining about her eyes, you know, having glaucoma. And, you know, I was just telling her about some of the stuff I had been reading in the newspaper. And at first she was obviously against it, you know, being 79 mm-hmm. years old at the time and growing up, obviously, you know, through the war on drugs and all that kind of stuff. But I convinced her to try it and, you know, went to go check on her an hour and a half later. And she was downstairs reading her Bible, crying. That was the first time she read, you know, was able to see the words on her Bible in over 3.5
years. That's awesome.
So that's awesome. That's what inspired me to, start my cannabis journey.
That's awesome. And Javi, just feel free to chime in if you have anything.
Yeah, man.
I could go all day.
What's up, Al, man? Great to see you again. Congrats on the raise.
What's up, brother? Thank you, man. Thank you.
Can't wait to hear about your lead investor. I'm sure you'll break the news on Benzinga, of course.
Yeah, we can definitely do it on Benzinga.
Want to do it right now?
I'll be back. We'll do it right now.
Compliance. I mean, if you want to do it, if you want to hint it, we're not against it.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a couple letters in it and... I'm joking. Soon, I promise. Maybe in a couple weeks, I'll come right back.
Good deal.
This will be the perfect place to do it. I like it. I'm comfortable here.
That's what we're trying. I'm just trying to make you comfortable. I'm sweating under these lights. I'm trying to make you comfortable. That's all that matters.
Go ahead. What you going to do with the money?
You know, we're really just going to focus it on, you know, really just branding, right? We also, part of this deal is we're doing a license agreement with this company as well, going into 4 new markets, which we're really excited, you know, coming towards the East Coast where I'm actually from. So my home state is one of them, New Jersey, Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Maryland, and Illinois. So just really excited to just allow the brand to kind of stretch its wings, as they say. You know, I feel like a lot of our awareness and branding has always been, you know, at a national level, even though, you know, obviously within the industry, you kind of have to just work within the state that you actually produce product. But, you know, I just feel like we have that kind of awareness that, you know, that we can, you know, start to move and migrate towards the East because, you know, mostly all of our business has been on the West.
Right. You're in Colorado. You're in Michigan, obviously, and you're in Oregon, right?
Right. And Oregon, California.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You wrote a really good post a few years ago on the Players. I remember reading that actually on, like, on the Players Tribune, just like about you talk about your grandma, but also just about, you know, about cannabis and how you found it and your journey. I'm just curious, like, to you, like, you made in that post very clear that, like, the social equity part was, like, very, very important to you, that you were not just doing this because you're not doing it to do it. You weren't doing it only because you loved cannabis. Cannabis is really just, like, the vehicle, right? Can you just speak a little bit about like, that aspect of it?
Yeah, just to be honest, I mean, for me, when I grew up, you know, cannabis was a big no-no. You know, especially where I grew up growing, you know, I'm an 80s baby, so the dare dog and all that, that's our era, right? So I was always completely afraid of it. When I got to the NBA is when, obviously, I started to change my stance because I had, you know, some of my really, really good teammates that used to use cannabis all the time. So that was the first time I realized the stigma behind cannabis wasn't the truth. But then when I got to my situation with my grandmother is when it opened my eyes that it was medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I started to take that journey, you know, it got me to the point where I continued to learn more and then obviously made an investment. Once I made the investment, to be honest, the first 3 years of it, man, I was just trying to figure out how to put one foot in front of the other. You know, it was like learning how to walk again.
Yeah, I hear
you. And, you know, you don't really have enough time to kind of really pay attention to everything that's going on around you. But once I finally got that footing, I started to realize that I was in rooms and there was never people that looked like me. And when I thought about, you know, the way I grew up and, you know, I thought about, you know, one of my uncles and, you know, two of my cousins, how they've been locked up for cannabis possession and been locked up for years and years and years behind it. I'm just like, how is this right that this industry is now becoming, you know, a $1 billion opportunity and there's no color people or people of color, excuse me, that are a part of it. So that's when I realized that I needed to kind of shift and pretty much use my platform, you know, as a voice for the voiceless almost. You know? And that's when, you know, I really started to take initiative in social equity and, you know, started a lot of the programs that we have now. You know, we have Harrington Institute that we're really proud of, you know, which is it offers a 6-week course for people to get, you know, just a foundation of information around the industry in any part of the industry, whether it's, you know, tech, whether it's media, whether it's cultivation, whether it's retail, just because I feel like people don't have enough information to understand the tremendous opportunity that's in front of them. And that's what I'm trying to do is just really try to figure out ways to usher the next generation of talent, you know, into the cannabis space.
Mm-hmm. Sonny Money says, come to Vegas. He says, we're legal here. He says new dispensaries daily. Come
working
to Vegas.
Until I'm working on it.
Sonny Money. You heard it. He's working on it.
Right. Sonny Money, you got to grow for me? Let's go, baby.
Mitch is saying he knows from personal experience that Viola products are for real.
Thank you.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're completely fantastic. A few months ago, you became, Viola became the first black-owned multinational cannabis company. Can you tell us about that, how you feel, how it came to be, you know, what's next in terms of international expansion?
Yeah, you know, I have a good friend over at a company called Avocana. His name is Araz, and I think you guys might have a relationship with him as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day me and him just sat down and just having some different conversations, and that's when I realized that, like, some of our vision aligned. In which what he was doing in Canada and what I was trying to, you know, create in the U.S. And we decided to, you know, obviously work together and, you know, to put this opportunity out there. And, you know, we started around CBD because I also have a CBD company called Harrington Wellness and a product line called Replay that, you know, we're actually working with the NBA and the NBPA to get access to the players so that the players can be able to use these topicals and different things like that instead of always having to use the, you know, the pills and stuff that are offered. Then we got to the point where, you know, he had relationships where he could, you know, pretty much help manage me getting Viola product into the Canadian market. And, you know, we executed an agreement maybe like 9 months ago. And, you know, we launched actually last month, you know, in Canada. So that was really exciting. You know, it's for me, it's very humbling that, you know, something that I started a whole nother country has interest in. And, you know, when I see the support that we've been getting there, it's been really amazing. So, you know, the partnership so far is really going well and we're just continually trying to grow it. And, you know, when I think about other places, you know, obviously the entire world is opening up. You know, that's some another reason why raising money, you know, so you can increase bandwidth so that you can take advantage of some of these future opportunities. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. But we're trying to be very methodical about it, being very strategic and not stretch ourselves too thin, because we know how important it is and the attention to detail that you have to have when you're especially building a brand.
You sort of mentioned it earlier, but you teased it, but I wanted to ask you about the accelerator, right? The Viola accelerator, because that sort of fits into what you were saying before.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I started our accelerator program, and, you know, once again, it's really about, you know, trying to help, you know, people of color that are coming up in this space that just need extra resources.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I always feel like, you know, people of color, especially black people, we've shown for hundreds of years that we can make something out of nothing. No, but sometimes you need just, you know, something to amplify. So that's what I've really been just focusing on, is finding companies or finding partners that, you know, I can lend my resources to amplify. So one of the ones that I'm very proud of is one called Gold Standard Farms, a kid named Jarrell Howard, you know, out of Martin, Tennessee, where, you know, he had a farm that's been in his family for 80 years.
Wow.
And, you know, he had like four aunties that, you know, like the board of governors over the land, and he had to actually convince them to, you know, allow him to grow hemp. And, you know, being able to convince them of that a year ago, you know, this farm had made, you know, $950,000 over like a 20-year span.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year, you know, did like $3 million in business.
Wow.
From hemp. And then now it's also, and when I think about like people like him, you know, I like those people that are very innovative, because now we're working on hemp block, right? You know, being able to build homes, you know, with hemp, with industrial hemp and different things like that. So, you know, just trying to, you know, lend my resources, my face, my celebrity sometimes, and then really just my experiences to those people that, you know, just need that push. And, you know, he's just one of many, but, you know, it's one that I love to talk about because of the actual success. And, you know, we just continue to try to, you know, help as many people as we can along the way.
There's a couple of questions in the chat. I see you, chat. Our CEO, Jason Raznick, wants to know if you're ever going to go public.
Let me find out.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, Raz, I asked your question. Now buy us lunch.
Right.
Miss Whitehorse, are there other NBA players that are into cannabis? And, like, you know, would you partner with them?
Yeah, there's a bunch of NBA players in cannabis.
I mean, that you just set him up. That is perfect.
I just teed him up. Miss Whitehorse teed him up.
Yeah, everybody's in cannabis. You know, no, there's a lot of players that out here, you know, especially a lot of NFL guys. Just athletes in general, entertainers are definitely looking at the industry. I remember when I started, and I would reach out to a lot of these guys that I see making announcements or partnerships, and I'm like, they were so scared of it, like, no way in hell, right?
Now, well, it's because it's drilled into your head all those years, right?
Yeah. Now they're all into it. But, you know, one of the collaborations that, you know, we were excited about that we launched last year was a partnership with Allen Iverson.
Nice.
You know, we started a brand for him, and we're excited to also part of this partnership, be able to, you know, expand his brand, because when you think about the icon that, you know, Allen Iverson is, and, you know, with the quality of flower we're putting in his brand, I think it's a win-win. And we're just really, once again, excited to get it to, you know, more people's hands.
Yeah.
It's an amazing brand. It's fantastic. I love it. I got a question that is more business related for you, right? I see that you often bring up licensing as part of your business model, right? Why do you... Or how do you choose to sometimes expand organically and other times through licensing? What's the rationale there?
Yeah, for us, once again, it's bandwidth when I really think about it. Licensing obviously is a quicker way to actually grow your business. But the main thing with that is finding, you know, really good partners, right, that can do what they say. One thing I learned in this space for the 10 years I've been in, you know, you first meet with somebody, they're the best growers, they're the best processors, they're the best distribution, and they're the best of everything, right? Until you actually get into business with them. And it's a lot of trial and error, to be honest. You know, you have to get in relationships to really see, you know, who you're with, and then find out if it'll actually work. So, you know, for me, that's the strategic part, is being able to identify people that can actually, you know, get the actual job done, and also be able to meet the standards of quality, you know, the product product that Viola likes to, you know, align with.
If you don't know, Ron with Al Harrington, former NBA star and the founder of Viola Brands. And if that is still not helpful, all you need to know about Al is...
My name's Al Harrington. I get buckets.
That's all you need to know about Al right there. There was a question from H. Montero in the chat, basketball question. He was wondering if you liked your time with the Knicks more or you're playing with your boys in Golden State.
I had more fun with my guys in Golden State. Yeah. New York was a dream come true, though. Like, I grew up a Knicks fan. My mom screaming. Yeah. Even though I liked Jordan, I had to, like, cheer for Jordan, like, secretly.
Sure.
You know, back then. But definitely a big-time Knicks fan.
As a Knicks fan that was watching you those years, I can understand. Because you guys didn't win a lot.
Yeah, it was tough, man. You know, yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
Didn't win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Played a lot of games, just didn't win.
Yeah, yeah. No, you put up good stats. Yeah, it wasn't you, Al. Right. It was everybody else.
I did my part.
It was everybody else. Again, Al Harrington, guys, in person, in studio. We don't get this very often. It's a treat for us. Drop us a like. Jason wants to know where we can see AI's product. Is that an invite?
Right now, it's strictly just in exclusively in California.
Yeah.
But we'll be launching in the Michigan market in March, end of March.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
I bought you a sample of it, too.
Right now?
Yeah, I got a sample. Ooh.
All right. Should we try it?
So right over there.
Wait.
Before we leave, I'll leave. Why do you love Michigan so much? Why do you love Detroit so much?
Man, honestly, once I realized about the purpose thing and you know, trying to elevate people of color, I had an opportunity to either expand the business into Arizona or Michigan, to be honest. And, you know, my main decision was just around the fact that I just felt like it was more people of color here, obviously, be able to help and, you know, to be able to put in position to give jobs and then also you know, knowing that, you know, legalization was coming here, social equity would be a big component of it, being able to help people actually get their licensing and different things like that. I felt like it was a bigger opportunity here to help. And, you know, that's honestly the reason why I chose the Michigan market. And obviously, when you spend time here, you just fall in love with it because it's a big town, but it's a very small town at the same time.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just really this family vibe, this community vibe. And that's what Viola is all about. It's like influencing community. And I just felt like Michigan was just a great place to start that.
Man, you're the GOAT.
I'm curious, like, have you had any conversations with, like, politicians at all?
I talk to politicians all the time.
All the time?
You know, part of my job is the lobbying side.
Yeah.
You know, I sit and talk with Schumer all the time. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
You know, I've talked to Cory Booker. I do National Lobby Day, you know, where I go and talk to all the senators and the governors about, you know, what's just happening in the industry, right? I think that a lot of these lawmakers make a lot of decisions not talking to the people that are in the trenches actually running these businesses.
Right.
They're just kind of sitting from a 30,000-foot view, making all these decisions, not realizing the impact that they're having on the industry. And when you think about even social equity, right, social equity is opportunity for people that was disenfranchised to, you know, actually have equity, you know, in these different opportunities. But if there's no resources around them, how can it be an equitable opportunity?
Right.
You know, you're pretty much setting them up to fail. So that's why I do a lot of my, you know, a lot of my lobbying around is, you know, trying to figure out the support structure around these opportunities so that people are successful, because this is generational wealth at risk, you know, for our community. And when we think about the way that drugs, especially cannabis, has destroyed our community, like just a real quick crazy stat, like in New York, once they legalized or they decriminalized cannabis, arrests in the Black community was down like 95%.
Really?
Right. Like how crazy is that? You know what I'm saying? So when you think about all the negative effects around, you know, the war on drugs, we just feel like, you know, people of color deserve a real opportunity.
Yeah. And there's the website. It's ViolaBrands.com. It's on the screen right there.
So,
I believe you. I 100% believe that stat. It totally like makes sense. And you also mentioned in your piece just about generational wealth, how that's the other like important thing, right? Is what it does is it gives people the chance to build the generational wealth that they don't have.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
And rebuild their communities. Right. You know, when I think about, you know, even a lot of these, you know, limited license markets that part of their application is that they have to give back to these communities.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, 99% of the times, those people never even stepped foot in those communities before.
Yeah.
So how do they know how to help? You know what I'm saying? How do they know where to spend their dollars? They don't.
They don't.
Right? And a lot of times, they don't. They won't. right? So I just feel like people like myself and, you know, other people, because, I mean, there's a lot of other entrepreneurs in the space that are coming up. You know, they just don't have this platform, you know, and they're actually doing really, really good work. So, you know, those are the people that I feel like, you know, really deserve the opportunity so that they can, you know, be able to funnel back the opportunities to the community.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's awesome because, like, you know, the era that you were in the NBA was, like, the dress code era. And, like, now we've gone completely the other way, right? Where it's, like, you're leading a cannabis company, which, like, never would have thought about that in, like, 15 years ago. Like, who would have thunk it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I definitely didn't. Yeah. You know, I even think when I first told my mom, like, she was disappointed. She's like, what? You're going to do what? After you played the NBA 16 years, never got in any trouble, and now you want to run a weed company?
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, but it's changed a lot. You know, obviously it's way more popular now. You know, when I even think about, I tell people this all, they laugh, but it's the truth. Like, my financial advisor literally dropped me as a client because I wanted to invest in cannabis. And we had been together, you know, 14 years.
Yeah.
He just couldn't wrap his head around me selling weed.
Right? Well, that was a decade ago or more. A lot's changed since then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. A lot has changed. And, you know,
I'm sure he's asking for you back.
Yeah, right. When I got comfortable, what it really was like when times when I would go to, like, meetings about a real estate opportunity or a tech opportunity, and, you know, you kind of go around the room and everybody kind of touch on what they're working on. And every time I would talk about cannabis, the meeting would completely flip. So that's all everybody wanted to talk about.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
So that's when I realized, I was like, okay, yeah, this industry is definitely moving in the right direction when you're getting the, you know, when you're getting the attention of, like, the people that I was in the room with.
Awesome. Awesome. And I guess just there was, I saw a question in the chat. I forget who asked it. It was KH. He's just asked about your friendship or relationship with Kobe and Michael. I don't know if you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I came in the league, you know, the first year after Michael retired, and, you know, I was able to play against him when he came back for the Wizards. So he was 40-year-old Michael, but obviously really, really good still, right? I think he still averaged like 23 points as a 40-year-old. I think he has one of the most historic block, two-hand blocks until Ja Morant the other day. Probably, you know,
I saw that one.
You know, now takes number one for the best block in NBA history or whatever. But, you know, Michael has always been, like, you know, the big, big homie, as we say, right? So being able to spend 5 minutes with him feels like you spent, you know, five decades, right? And, you know, he's always been, you know, very, you know, funny, very competitive. You know, he talks a lot of trash constantly. And, you know, with Kobe, you know, I will say with him, he actually died. The hill that he died of was, like, right outside of the gate where I live at in Calabasas.
Oh, geez.
I actually lived there. And that morning, my daughter actually rides horses, and I was taking her to one of her horse competitions, and I saw the smoke on the hill, you know, and, like, an hour later is when I got the news that it was a helicopter that, you know, Kobe was in that crash. But the one thing I'll say is, like, when I think about that is, you know, I actually cried, right? Dude. And when I think about, like, why I cried, I'm like, you know, because I never liked Kobe. Right. Not that I hated him as a person, but, you know, just as a competitor, like, he created that environment where it wasn't friendly. It was like competition. Like, we're not boys. If we're not teammates, we're not boys.
Right.
But what I realized and why I think it hit me so hard was I realized that every time I played against him, he really, like, brought the best out of me. You know what I'm saying? I really thought about, like, how, you know, we played the Lakers, like, I ate differently. I got an extra half hour of sleep. You know what I'm saying? Just to go out there and try to beat him. You know what I'm saying? So I just really think that, you know, all the players really realize that, you know, he really caught us. He dominated us at our best, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So it really just goes to show, like, what of a special player, you know, Kobe Bryant was.
Yeah, chat's saying, like, hey, we all cried, I think, when that happened. All right, Al Harrington, again, Viola Brands. He's the founder and the CEO. Just what's the next thing? You just raised some money, obviously, so you're going to figure out how to put that to work. But, like, what's, like, the next thing we should be looking out for?
Yeah, just, you know, look for us in these new states. You know, we have some other, you know, little different opportunities that we're looking at as well that expands the brand from a lifestyle perspective
awesome.
That, you know, we're working on. So, you know, just, you know, pay attention. You know, I'll be making all my big announcements on Benzinga, so you guys will hear it first. And
how we like it.
And, you know, we just kind of, you know, see where we go from there.
There's one more question, and then Javi, I'll let you wrap it up. But someone's asking, you're on the board of directors of MedMen? Is that
not anymore?
Not anymore. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know what.
Bad question. I don't know whoever.
Bad question, Mitch.
Awful question, Mitch.
Javi, do you have anything else?
Not really, man. Just want to thank you for joining us. It's been a fantastic interview.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming, you know, not just coming on, but, you know, in person. You know, we cleaned up for you. As I don't know if you can tell, but we cleaned a little bit.
Man, I'm going to tell you something about Jason, man. That's one hell of a CEO, man. He's so convincing. He's like, hey, Al, you doing good? All right. Small talk to me. You want to come in for the show tomorrow?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're not doing anything. Come in for the show tomorrow. So he got me here. So hats off to my man, Jason.
Props to
you. Congratulations to you guys at Benzinga, man. Like,
thank you.
I feel like I was here like when it was just two people in the room, man. You know what I'm saying? I was at the ground up.
Yeah.
And now look at you guys. The studio and, you know, offices. And this is fancy, man. You guys got a nice setup.
Yeah, we're still just as crazy as we always were, though. All right. Again, Al Harrington, founder, CEO of Viola Brands, former NBA star. I grew up watching you. It's been a pleasure to chat and hang. Thanks, and thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
man.
Brother. Got that sample for you.
Yeah, man. Oh, he's got that sample. Shoot, how do we go and get that? I don't know if I would do it on the air. That would be I guess we could, but that would be a little bit too much, I think. So thanks to Al. That was awesome. We're gonna end this stream, send you over there.